Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21 and text number 29 and 30. Teme matam avigyaya paroksham visayatmakah himsayam yadi ragah syat yagya evana chodana himsa viharahi alabdhe pashu bhiswasu ते मे मतम अविज्ञया परोक्षम विषयात्मकः हिंसायां यदि रागः स्यात् यज्ञ एव न चोदन ते मे मतम अविज्ञया परोक्षम विषयात्मकः हिंसायां यदि रागः स्यात् यज्ञ एव न चोदन Mataji's. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Those who are sworn to sense gratification cannot understand the confidential conclusion of the Vedic knowledge as explained by me. Taking pleasure in violence, they cruelly slaughter innocent animals in sacrifice for their own sense gratification, and thus worship demigods, forefathers and leaders amongst ghostly creatures. Such passion and violence, however, is never encouraged within the process of Vedic sacrifice. Purport. The Vedic scripture sanctions occasional animal sacrifice to satisfy cruel low-class men who cannot live without the taste of flesh and the blood. Such concessions, however, are restricted by rigorous obligatory rituals and are meant to gradually discourage animal killing. Just as the exorbitant cost of liquor License restrict the numbers of retail outlets selling alcoholic beverages, but unscrupulous persons misconstrue such a restrictive sanctions and declare that Vedic sacrifice is meant for killing animals in order to enjoy sense gratification. Being materialistic, they desire to attain planet of the forefathers or demigods and thus worship such beings. Sometimes materialistic persons are attracted to the subtle lifestyle of ghosts and worship ghostly creatures. These methods constitute gross ignorance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the actual enjoyer of all the sacrifice and austerities. The demons perform Vedic sacrifices but are inimical to Lord Narayan, for they consider the demigods, the forefathers of Lord Shiva, to be equal to God. Although understanding the opportunity of Vedic rituals, they do not accept the ultimate Vedic conclusion and therefore never surrender to God. Thus false religious principles flourish in the demonic societies of the animal killers. Although in countries like America, people outwardly profess to be followers of God alone, actual worship and glorification is offered to innumerable popular heroes such as entertainers, politicians, athletes, and other equally insignificant persons. Animal killers, being grossly materialistic, are inevitably attracted to the extraordinary features of material illusion. They cannot understand the real platform of Krishna consciousness or spiritual life. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. हरे कृष्ण. टुडे आई वॉज थिंकिंग ऑफ स्पीकिंग अ प्योर कृष्ण कथा बिकॉज टुडे इज एकादशी. But then I read the translation and the purport. Then I thought in my mind, no, this is the best subject. Because purport and the translation explains about the slaughtering the animals. So it's better to speak about protecting the animals. So Krishna also will be pleased by, you know, hearing this protection of animals. So eating is a natural, basic, inherent activity of all living entities. Everyone has to eat. We cannot survive without eating. But what to eat and what not to eat, it is explained in the Shastras. What is recommended for human being, what is recommended for the animals, everything is given in detail in all the Shastras. Material nature has provided different types of bodies to all living entities, and their bodies survive on a particular type of food. So there are three types of animals. The first is carnivore animal. The second is herbivore animal. And third is human being. Human being also is an animal. So carnivore animal are like tigers, lions, jackals. They eat the flesh of other animals and they maintain their body. Herbivore animals, they eat grass, vegetations, and they maintain their bodies. And human being supposed to be eating vegetarian diet. But of course human being doesn't follow that rule. So if we study the structure of all these three categories of animals, the carnivore animals, their jaws are very wide and long, very strong. For example, crocodile. Crocodile's jaws are bigger than its rest of the body. Why material nature or God has given that big jaws to the crocodile? Because crocodile pounces on other animal and eats that animal, or gulp that animal or swallow that animal whole. So therefore, God or a material nature has provided them that wide and long jaws. But human being, we have small mouth, right? Because we don't have to pounce on some other animal. So we take one morsel at a time and push it in the mouth. That is our structure of our body. If you see the teeth and the claws of carnivore animals, their claws and teeth are so sharp and very strong because they have to tear apart the animal's flesh with their claws and with their teeth. But our teeth are flattened. Our claws are not, our nails are not sharp. Of course, there is a difference between human being and the demons. Demons look like human being, but they are meant for eating flesh. Therefore, you will find even the demons' teeth also very sharp, and their nails also are very strong and sharp. Shurupanakha, sister of Ravana, the meaning of Shurupanakha is, Nakha means nails, and Shurupa means very long and strong nails. So previously, all the cultured ladies, they would not keep long nails. Our nails are flat. Demoness, they would keep long nails. But nowadays it is a fashion to keep long nails. Anyway, but that was a demonic quality. So Shurpanaka, she had long and sharp nails. And then it comes our small intestine. The carnivore animal's small intestine size is 3 to 5 times of their bodily length. But human beings' small intestine size is 10 to 12 times of their bodily length. So why is it like that? If the intestine is very small, then digestion system gets easily done. So therefore, you will find their whole bodily structure of the carnivore animal is meant for meat consumption. But as the Kali Yuga is progressing, people are becoming more and more, the meat eating is becoming more and more rampant in the society. And just like 50 years ago, even in our textbooks, the ideal diet for a human being was vegetarian food. But slowly, slowly they added meat, fish and eggs. So since the childhood, if the children, they hear the most ideal food is only non-veg food, so naturally they will be attracted and they will eat the whole life, they will eat only non-veg. So, therefore you will even find the movies, cinemas and social media, all the sophisticated people, they show that what I am eating. Even some shameless actresses, they say, oh, I eat breakfast chicken and I eat lunch this and that. And that message is spread everywhere. One day I was in Pune station, railway station. I was waiting for a train. So suddenly I saw that advertisement on the TV, on a screen. One young, beautiful lady, she is now in the advertisement. She goes to the market and she purchases all the ingredients and finally she comes to a chicken shop. And she purchased that particular brand of chicken. And then she says, the secret of my beauty, the secret of my health is this chicken. And this advertisement is shown throughout the day and night on the railway station. So I was thinking, if this kind of advertisements and everywhere, social medias, the movies, sometimes the hero says, hey, main koi bakra ho kya ghas phus khane ke liye? Am I a goat to eat these vegetables? So are you a child of a lion? Tum kya sher ka bachcha ho gaya? So in this kind of, even in the Western countries, meat eating company, like meat industries, like McDonald's and other companies, how they advertise their product, very beautiful. A very cute, young, 7 to 8 years old girl, she goes to the garden, very beautiful, huh? She goes to the garden and she plucks hamburger from the flower plants. Just like if you see a small girl going to the garden and plucking the flowers, it looks very nice. It doesn't require any cruelty involved in that. So here, in the Western countries, the small girl goes to the garden and plucks out hamburger from the flower trees. So what it shows, that in hamburger, there is no cruelty involved. It's a very harmless thing. So this kind of propaganda is made everywhere. So therefore, even an innocent people also, they also start eating non-ash food. Some people ask, what's wrong in eating non-veg food? And they give argument. Suppose like if you go to the jungles in the forest and there are tribal communities. There is nothing available, there is no food available apart from some non-veg food or raw flesh. So how can we say that eating raw flesh or eating non-veg is sinful? Because they are born in such situation, in such place where there is no food available. But we must understand there are 8,400,000 species of life. Out of 8,400,000 species, 400,000 species of life are types of human being. They are not, their bodies are human bodies, but their consciousness are 4 lakh types, 400,000 types. Although these tribals, they are in a human body, but their consciousness is not developed. Their consciousness is just one stage above the animals. Just like a lions and the tigers, they eat flesh. Therefore, you'll find some of the tribal community people, they don't even wear clothes. Because their consciousness seriously is not developed. They are not civilized people. So therefore, where they stay, according to material nature, they are according to their karma, material nature provides their body, in that particular land they take birth. And if you see their facilities, no AC rooms, no AC bungalows, no AC cars, no education, nothing. They don't even wear clothes. So how can we compare a civilized society, civilized person with this tribal community? There is no comparison. One time we went to South India Yatra, I personally saw there were some tribal community people and the ladies, Matajis, they were fetching drinking water from a small puddle. It was not even a clean water. That was the only resources for the drinking water. So they don't even have basic facilities to, you know, for their own health. For their breakfast, lunch, dinner, only fish. Dry fish, wet fish, this fish, that fish. Their children are not given education. So we cannot compare. Therefore, Shastra says, one who has given the more facilities, even the responsibility is also expected from them. So if you have, just like in the companies, if a manager, CEO, he gets a 10 lakh rupees salary per month, and a sweeper gets 10,000 rupees. So manager cannot say, see, he works only for 8 hours, and I have to be here in the company for 24 hours. My dear sir, because you are also getting salary, 10 lakh rupees a month. So similarly, when we are, just like 7-8 years ago, on Radhashtami day, we prepared 3,000 varieties of dishes for the pleasure of Radha Gopinathji. So at least that many vegetarian dishes are available. So if you have 3,000 types of dishes, why you want to again drink that blood and eat that bones and flesh? So, because the human, the civilized people, they are given more facilities, given even responsibility also is expected. Some people say that ecological imbalance. If a human being does not eat animals, then what will happen? These animals will grow. Everywhere, all throughout the planet, you will find only animals. Then what to do? There will be ecological imbalance. Are a rascal. You don't worry about the universe. Even if you can take care of your body and your family, that will be a great thing. People think as if they are like a god. They are managing the universal affairs. One time Prabhupada was giving a class and one person asked him a question. Swamiji, you know, he was an atheist. So he was giving an atheistic argument. And then Prabhupada said, since the time of creation till now, not even a single animal, not even a single reptile, bird, or an insect, or a worm died without food. Since the time of creation till now, not even a single animal, bird, or beast died without feast, without food. Who supplies them? If people say, oh, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in God, give the answer. We all human beings have to work somewhere, we have to go to companies and do so many things to earn our livelihood. Elephants, they eat tons of food and God provides them. Ants, they need little food, God provides them. Even if a lion who is a king of the jungle, but whatever his quota, only once in a week, once in a week, a lion gets one prey, a deer or some other animal. Lion also will not get more than once in a week. So the material nature works so nicely that God, material nature provides everything. So how can we say that if these animals, they grow in numbers, what will happen? Actually, if you see the structure, the arrangement of this material nature is, in this cycle, the vegetation and the plants are eaten by the herbivores, and the herbivores are eaten by the carnivores. In this way, the material nature is protected and maintained. And unfortunately, human being does not fit anywhere. Human being is an extra animal. Even if there are all the human beings are wiped out from this earth, still there will be no ecological imbalance. So, this is our foolishness to think that human beings are so great. Now you tell me, sometimes people say, yeah, to survive, I eat animals, I eat flesh. My dear sir, what is the greatness in you? Tell me what is the difference between you and the animal? Why are you superior to the animals? What is your greatness? You also eat, sleep, mate and defend. And animals also doing the same thing. In one sense, the animals are more, they are more superior, they are more greater than us. Why? At least they don't break the laws of material natures. The tigers and the lions, they don't eat rasgullas, rasmalai, jalebi, sandesh, peda, barfi, isn't it? They will eat only food, whatever is quota is given to them by God. But we human beings, we are so rascal. Actually, we have been given the higher intelligence. So God expects that you have been given that higher intelligence. Now you protect your younger brothers and sisters. But rather than protecting them, we exploit them, we kill them. Therefore you will find all these devotees, saintly people like Parikshit Maharaj, when he saw the low class Shudra, Kali personified, he was trying to kill a cow. Parikshit Maharaj immediately took out his sword. He was ready to kill him. Maharaj Shibi, when he was sitting in his court, a small pigeon came flying and sat on his lap. Maharaj Shibi said, who are you? The pigeon said, I'm a bird. I'm very afraid. One hawk is chasing me. One hawk wants to eat me. Maharaj Shibi said, no problem. Now you have taken shelter of me. You are my citizen. Don't worry, I'll give you protection. Immediately the hawk also came. Hawk said, my dear sir, I am also citizen of your kingdom. And this pigeon is my food. So now if you want to protect the pigeon, you have to give the flesh of your body. Maharaj Shibi started cutting off the flesh from his thighs. And he offered it to the hawk. So, these are the real saintly kings. One time Shivaji Maharaj, amazing personality. Shivaji Maharaj, when he went to Karnataka to meet his family members, he was only 10 years old boy. Shivaji Maharaj only was 10 years old boy when he went to Karnataka, and he saw on the street one butcher. He was killing a cow. A butcher raised his arms with the sword and he was about to chop the head or neck of the cow. Shivaji Maharaj ran and Shivaji Maharaj cut off his hand in the air. That sword could not reach the neck of a cow. This is a Kshatriya. This is a responsibility of a civilized people to give protection to cows and protection to all the animals. But nowadays, we want blessings of cows, but we are not interested in giving protection to the cows. How will you get the benediction? How will you get their blessings? Sometimes people say, oh, you eat vegetarian food, huh? The plants also have life. Animals have life. Plants also have life. So by eating vegetarian diet, you are also incurring sin. That is true. But Shastra says, Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. Jivo Jivasya Jivanam means to survive, to maintain your body, you have to eat something. So, human being, they have to eat something. Just like herbivores eat grasses and carnivores eat animals. So, when we eat plants and vegetables, for example, grains, rice, wheat, or a dal, when the farmer cut down those crops, that time they are already dead. The wheat plant, or a rice plant, or a dal plant, they are already dead. And then the farmer cut those crops. So even if you say that palak sabji or a methi sabji, they are still living, they are green vegetables. So when you cut those green vegetables, still you incur the sin? Yes. Those plants like palak and methi, they also have a life, but their consciousness is almost dull, almost nil. You cannot compare like cutting 100 plants of palak sabji is equivalent to killing 100 goats or 100 cows. The cruelty involved. Actually, plants and trees, they have a life, but they don't have pains and pleasure, feelings and emotions. Even if there are feelings, but it's very nil, practically zero. It's like in the western country, in California, there are redwood trees. Those redwood trees are so strong. Sometimes the people, they make roadways through the trees. And people drive their cars through those trees. So can we say that I also want to make roadways through an elephant? No, because tree's consciousness is very dull. Although it is a living entity, but there is no pains and pleasure. But you cannot compare this with killing of an animal. So, although there is a sin involved in killing plants and eating vegetables, therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yadnya Sista Sina Santo Muchante Sarva Kilvishay Vunjatete Agam Papa Yapachantatma Karanat. That if you offer that food, vegetable food to me, then it becomes a Mahaprasad, it becomes blessings, and then you will be free from all that sinful reactions. Once in a city of Magadha, presently in Bihar, there was a king, his name was Bindusar. So this Bindusar, he called upon all his ministers and well-wisher for an important meeting. So all the ministers and well-wishers came. And the king said, because I want to discuss something about the food shortage in our kingdom. So now please tell me, which is the cheapest food which is easily available without much efforts? So all the ministers started thinking. And most of them were flesh eaters. So they said, Maharaj, meat. Meat is the most cheapest food, easily available, without much efforts. So, king said, why? Because if you want to grow a rice plant or wheat plant, it takes so much of time and you have to wait till then rain comes. So much effort is there. But meat is easily available. So Chanakya Pandit also was sitting in that meeting. But Chanakya Pandit was just kept quiet. King said, oh, my dear Swamiji, what is your opinion? Chanakya Pandit said, give me 24 hours. Tomorrow I'll give the answer. He said, okay. So same night, Chanakya Pandit went to that head of that minister. He went to the 10 o'clock in his house. And he said, my dear sir, he knocked on the door. He said, my dear sir, the king has become suddenly very sick. And Vaidya or a doctor said, there is only one medicine. I have brought 100,000 gold coins. You have to give 2 milligrams of flesh from your heart. We have to cut your heart and only 2 milligrams flesh, not much, only 2 milligrams. And here are 100,000 gold coins for you. King has offered this. He started shaking in fear. He went home, he went within his house and he brought 200,000 gold coins. He said, my dear Swamiji, please forgive me. I cannot give this to you. Please you approach some other minister. Chanakya Pandit said, no problem. He went and approached each and every minister who were supporting the flesh eaters. So then, finally the next morning, Chanakya Pandit came with a huge gold coins quantity. And then, king said, what is this? And then Chanakya Pandit says, to purchase 2 milligram flesh, we need so many gold coins. And then the king understood, what is the cost of a flesh? When it comes to our life, we are very careful. Because my life. And when it comes to animals' life, no problem. Chalega. So, therefore our Vedic culture is such a beautiful culture. In our culture, we not just respect animals, we worship animals. We worship bulls, we worship cow, we worship so many animals. We worship rivers. Nothing is impersonal in our philosophy. Narmada, Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati. We don't consider this a body of water. They are the personalities. They are our mothers. And therefore we respect them, we worship them. We don't contaminate them. But apart from Vedic culture, in the Western countries, river means just a body of water. You can just, whatever way you want, you can deal with them, treat them. Material nature is just for your exploitation. But in our Vedic culture, we worship and respect rivers. We worship even mountains. We worship even trees and plants. So therefore, in our Vedic culture, it's such a glorious culture. People sometimes say, why you discriminate even amongst animals? Because our Vedic culture says, you can eat even up to goats. Prabhupada, one time he spoke in his lecture, he saw the condition of the people, they were so much of habit of eating flesh. Prabhupada said, you can eat even up to buffaloes, but not cows. Someone said, why? You can eat buffaloes, we can eat goats, why not cow? Prabhupada said, cow is not an animal. Cow is a blessing for the human society. If you bring 1,000 ordinary people, one pure-hearted brahmana is better than 1,000 ordinary men. Of course, that brahmana means Satyuga brahmana style. Not Kali Yuga, simply for earning money, he wears a Brahman thread and not that Brahmana. Brahmana means pure-hearted, titikshva, karunika, who has a compassion, unlimited compassion for a living entity, who is a lover of Krishna. That is a Brahmana. That Brahmana is better than 1,000 ordinary men. And a cow is worshipable even for such a Brahmanas. So Prabhupada said, cow is not an animal. Others are animals. So, therefore we discriminate amongst all these animals. Sometimes people say, no, we want scientific explanation. Why we should discriminate between cows and the goats? I was just thinking this example in my mind. Suppose there are two young women, beautiful young women, age of 20 to 25. One is a wife and other is a sister. When a man comes, his dealing and his behavior with his sister is totally different from his dealings and behavior with his wife. Now both are women, both are of same age. Why are you discriminating? Your dealings with your wife is totally different from your sister. You should deal with, because they are all women, you know. You should deal with everyone same way. Here there is no logic. Logic doesn't work here. Scientific explanation doesn't work here. Because human being, we know, this is mother, this is sister, this is wife. That discrimination power God has given to us. Why not discrimination power use it here also? So when Shastra says cow is worshipable, that means you have to just accept. Why only in animals? We even make discrimination even amongst the birds. Sometimes there are people, they are lover of animals. They keep some pet birds. What a pet animal, pet birds also. You will find in the people's house, there are some beautiful cages, a cage, and inside the cage, there is a parrot. Did you find any time by mistake, there is a crow in that cage? Did you find any time? That I am a very, you know, lover of pet birds. I kept a crow in my cage. Never. But you will find parrot. Parrot also is a bird. Crow also is a bird. Why don't you keep crow? No. You will keep a parrot. We make discrimination even amongst the trees. In front of our house, in our garden, in our agricultural land, we plant mango trees. We don't plant cactus trees. Kato ka ped lagate kya hum log? Even if there are cactus trees, we uproot them. And we plant mango trees. That means we make discriminations amongst the trees, amongst the birds, and also amongst the animals. Krishna, he is a lover of cows. His name is Gopal. He loves cows so much, 24 hours Krishna stays with the cows. During the daytime, he is herding the cows, he is grazing the cows, he is feeding the cows. Evening, morning, he is milking the cows. And even other times, even if he has to take some rest, he goes to the goshala, cow barn, and he sleeps with the cows. That much love he has for the cows. When Yashoda Mai says, beta, you wear chappal, he says, no, because my cows are not wearing chappal, I'll also not wear chappal. So cows, Krishna loves cows so much, the cows also love Krishna so much. When Uddhava, he came to Vrindavan, and he was having discussion with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai at Nanda Bhavan. He wanted to give some solace to them because they were feeling separation from Krishna. And suddenly he saw there is a small rivulet, small river flowing next to him. Uddhava said, what is this? Because Jamuna is far away from here. And Nanda Maharaj said, you yourself find out. Uddhava went to the source of that water. He found that river is coming from the cow barn, from the goshala. All the cows and the bulls and the calves, they were shedding tears. They were crying for Krishna. They were feeling so much of separation from Krishna. The cows, they are not an animal. In Vrindavan, cows are not treated an animal. They are treated as a family member. If you read the literatures of our acharyas, Goswamis, you will find the description is given. The cows, they were not tied in the barn in the goshala. They were freely roaming. Just like this is our hall, some kitchen, bedroom, this is that. Nanda Maharaj's house, the cows would go to the main hall, they would go to the kitchen, they would roam everywhere. The calves were, they would sleep with Nanda Maharaj on his bed. The cows are not considered an animal. This is mentioned in the Shastras. So all these cows, the bulls, so Krishna gave to the position of a mother to all the cows. When mother would say, the cows would see that Yashoda Mai, she is feeding Krishna her own milk, breast milk. The cows also develop those desire to feed Krishna their breast milk. Krishna said, no problem. Krishna made a special arrangement. Brahmaji was thinking that I am tasting Krishna. I am now examining Krishna. Let me see what if Krishna is God, what he does. He stole all the calves and the cowherd boys. Krishna said, it's my arrangement. Who are you to, you know, interfere in my leelas? With my yoga maya potency, I have bewildered you, and now you have stolen all the calves and the boyfriends of mine, and you kept it in your house for 1 year. Now this is for my, this is opportunity for me to expand as a cowherd boys and calves. Then he fulfilled the desires of all the cows, those who wanted to feed Krishna as their son, the mothers and also the cows. So in this way we will find that in our Vedic culture, we respect all the, we not only respect, we worship all the animals, bulls everywhere, and especially the cows. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions, we can take one or two questions, otherwise finish.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. My question is, when we go out to distribute Krishna Prasadam, we don't distinguish between, you know, one is eating meat or vegetarian. We just want to give Krishna Prem and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada to others. But people, they say that we've eaten meat, so hum prasad nahi kha sakte hai. So, I mean, I still tell them ke khaiye kuch nahi, hamare mata pita hai, prasad paiye. But they say no. So, has Prabhupada said anywhere that we shouldn't...
I got your question. In this Kali Yuga, everyone is more or less sinful. No one can boldly claim, I am the purest. No one in this Kali Yuga. If someone is under the water, fell into the water, that means his body is wet. Those who are born in this Kali Yuga, whether male, female, Brahmana, Shudra, everyone, they are contaminated and they are sinful. Of course, degree is more or less. So therefore, holy name, chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Now whoever we are, whether we are sinful, we are eating meat and we are doing so many sinful activities, no problem. So therefore we can tell them, take this prasad. Why Jagannath ji? Krishna came as Jagannath. Because Krishna, in Satyuga, he gave different philosophy. In Treta Yuga, different process. Dwapar Yuga, even Gita knowledge. But in Krishna's thought, in Kali Yuga, this will not even work. He said, no problem. He came as Lord Jagannath. And he said, my dear sir, I know you will not understand the philosophy. You will not even follow the four little principles. You will not do anything. At least you eat every day. You eat breakfast, lunch, dinner. Take my prasad. See, that anyone, even the animal, the bird, which anyone can eat, right? Eating is an inherited our quality. So Jagannath says, eat this prasad. For eating prasad, there is no qualification required. For chanting Hare Krishna mantra, there is no qualification required. So in Kali Yuga, just taking bath in Ganga water, for Kali Yuga, there are only two dhams, Ganga Mai and chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Taking bath in Ganga, taking prasad of Jagannath ji, and chanting Hare Krishna mantra of Gaur Nithai. That will save everyone. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.